Okay, let's start. It's now just a little past 10, I think 10:02. So I'd like to call this public hearing to order. This is a formal public hearing on the proposed administrative rules of the Office of Information Practices, or OIP, relating to administrative appeal procedures for appeals to OIP. This proposed rule would establish the procedures for filing appeals with OIP under 1, the Uniform Information Practices Act, modified HRS Chapter 92, otherwise known as the UIPA, and 2, HRS Chapter and HRS Chapter 231. The rules would also establish procedures for filing an administrative complaint concerning a board's failure to comply with the state Sunshine Law, Part 1 of HRS Chapter 92. Sorry, I forgot to say HRS Chapter 92F in referring to the UIPA. The rules propose procedures for OIP's processing and rendering a decision on a complaint or appeal. My name is Cheryl Kakazu Park, and I am the director of OIP, and I will conduct this public hearing. The purpose of this hearing is to provide the public the opportunity to provide comments in the form of oral and written testimony on these proposed administrative rules relating to the procedures for appeals and complaints filed with OIP. I hope that all of you have signed in. If not, and you want to, please do so. We would like to make a complete record of all persons attending this hearing. And visually, I can see that there are 2, 4, 6, 7 members of the public in attendance at the hearing right now. There is also a column on the sign-in sheet for those wishing to present testimony on the proposed changes. When it is time to testify, I will call the names in the order that they are listed on the sign-in sheets. And right now, I see that 2 of you are wanting to testify. At this time, I'd like to introduce the other members of OIP staff who are here, starting with Staff Attorney Jennifer Brooks and Staff Attorney Carlotta Amarino. And then we have our Records Report Specialist, Michael Little, as well as my Administrative Assistant, Cindy Yee. Now, these proposed rules are authorized by the UIPA, which requires the adoption of rules setting forth an administrative appeal structure, which provides for a direct appeal from the division maintaining the record, and the Sunshine Law, which requires OIP to establish procedures for filing and responding to complaints filed by any person concerning the failure of any board to comply with this part. A favorable recommendation to conduct this public hearing was obtained on September 13, 2012, from the Department of Business, Economic Development, and Tourism, which found that the proposed rule does not have any specific bearing or negative effect on Hawaii businesses, and that any effect would be of positive nature because the administrative appeal process, which is available to all individuals as well as businesses, is intended to be fair, informal, and expedient. Approval to conduct the hearing was granted by Governor Neil Abercrombie on September 27, 2012. Copies of the administrative rules and impact statement are available for inspection at the table near the entrance and were previously posted on OIP's website at hawaii.gov/OIP. During this hearing, we will record your testimony on this proposal. The legal notice of this public hearing was published on October 14, 2012, the Sunday issue of the Honolulu Star Advertiser. The impact statement explains in great detail the proposed rules, and as stated earlier, copies are available for your inspection here or on OIP's website. To summarize, the proposed rules implement the UIPA's and Sunshine Law's provisions and other laws that grant a person the right to complain or appeal to OIP and authorize OIP to review and decide the appeal. The law creating OIP specifically provides that any review by the Office of Information Practices shall not be a contested case under Chapter 91 and shall be optional and without prejudice to the rights of judicial enforcement available under the UIPA. The proposed rules establish the procedures to filing an administrative appeal or complaint with OIP as an informal alternative to filing an appeal with the Circuit Court. The proposed rules do not apply to appeals to the Circuit Court. And here is a brief summary of the proposed rules. The first section, Section 2-73-1, sets out the purpose, scope, and construction of the rules. Section 2-73-2 provides for the definition of terms used in the rules. Section 2-73-3 sets out the methods to be used in computing periods of time referred to in the rules. Section 2-73-4 clarifies that OIP will continue its current practice of providing services that are not appeals covered by the proposed rules, such as advisory opinions, guidance, training, informal advice by telephone or email, assistance in obtaining an agency's response to a record request, and any other services consistent with the UIPA or Sunshine Law. As those other forms of assistance are not appeals, they are not subject to the proposed procedural rules for appeals. We have a few section numbers that are reserved for potential future use and contain no provisions. So when you go to Section 2-73-11, this enumerates the situation in which appeals may be filed with OIP. Section 2-73-12 tells a prospective applicant how to request OIP review of an agency's denial of access to a government record or a Department of Taxation decision regarding disclosure of a written opinion or a board's compliance with the Sunshine Law. It sets time limits for making the request to OIP and explains what information must be provided in the request. Section 2-73-13 describes how OIP will respond to an appeal. Within five business days after accepting an appeal, OIP shall either, one, notify the appellant that the appeal will not be heard and why, or two, issue a notice of appeal to the appellant and the agency whose action is being appealed. Section 2-73-14 sets the timeline and required contents for an agency's response to an appeal. Section 2-73-15 lists additional actions that OIP may take in the process of fairly, expeditiously, and informally resolving an appeal, including possible participation of and statements from third persons, in-camera inspection of documents, ex parte communications with a party or another person, consolidation of appeals, mediation, informal conferences, or the exchange of statements or other documents. Section 2-73-16 reminds people that all documents submitted to OIP are subject to HR 710-1063, which provides that unsworn falsification is a misdemeanor. Section 2-73-17 requires OIP to issue a final written decision on an appeal and describes provisions that the decision will contain. The rule also provides that decisions may either be one, published formal opinions with precedential value, or two, informal or memorandum opinions or other written dispositions that are not published and will not set a binding precedent on the underlying legal issues. Section 2-73-18 allows OIP to dismiss an appeal anytime for good reason and lists various good reasons for dismissing an appeal. Section 2-73-19 allows OIP to reconsider any decision and sets forth the procedures and standards for reconsideration, which must be based on a change in the law, a change in the facts, or other compelling circumstances. Section 2-73-20 explains what must be included in OIP's record provided in a subsequent appeal of OIP's decision to the Circuit Court and how documents submitted for in-camera inspection will be provided to the court. So having summarized the rules, this hearing will be conducted as follows. This public hearing is the opportunity for interested persons to present to OIP their comments or testimony regarding the proposal. I will call on those who have signed up to testify as they are listed on the sign-in sheet. After those who have signed up and presented their testimonies, I will ask if there's anyone else that wishes to testify. We are recording this hearing to make a complete written transcript, so please state your name for the record before giving your testimony. Well, actually, we're not providing a complete written transcript. We're going to be using it to provide minutes of this hearing after the hearing is over. And please remember to respect the opinions of all testifiers and that this hearing is not an opportunity for accusations or rebuttals. There may be differing opinions. Everyone has an opportunity to voice their opinion for OIP to consider. If you have a procedural question, please direct it to me. Please remember that the purpose of this hearing is to take testimony from the public and that OIP will not be engaging in a debate or argument on the merits of the proposed rules or suggested amendments, nor will any decision making occur today. So as I call your name, please come to the microphone over there and state your name and present your testimony. So the first person who signed up is Bev Kiever.
Could I pass out copies of my testimony?
Yes, please.
Because I'm going to be referring to the pages.
Okay. Thank you.
I wonder if my testimony could be appended to the record because I'm not going to go through it word by word.
Okay, that's fine.
And I won't be speaking it all in here.
Okay.
But just briefly, my name is Bev Kiever. I taught journalism and communications for about 29 years at the University of Hawaii at Manoa. And I'm since retired and a professor emeritus. I was very active in the passage of the bill that set up OIP. So I have a very soft spot for OIP, which was established 24 years ago. In fact, my students and I went to see that office as they were setting it up. They didn't even have any chairs in the old post office building across the street, and the telephones were just being installed. So since then, OIP has been a very important fixture in the way the government operations have been conducted and the interaction with the public. To just remind you, one of the important features of OIP was it was unique at the time it was established because it centralized for the state a way to have uniform interpretations of what was public and what was private across city and state agencies. So they wanted a uniform interpretation at a time when technology was just coming in, the computer was just changing a lot of things. They also wanted to avoid litigation. But more important, OIP was viewed as a place where a citizen requester could go and get help to adjudicate or to negotiate with an agency that would not give them either public or personal data information that the law said that they should be getting. Now about these rules which are going to be implementing the statute, I find them deficient in several ways. I've summarized them on page one, but the most important one, OIP was supposed to be expeditious, informal procedure at no cost to the public. So to me, that is still the prime function. And in many ways, the legislature's carried that through with the public access room. So their idea is to have an office to assist the citizenry to get input before all of the decisions were made. Rather than going through page one, I'd like to go through pages of the administrative rules that are being proposed, sort of selected pages to show you how I would like to see them changed. on what the administrative rules say is page 73-2. The very bottom of the page, what I have deleted is underlined. I want to cut out the language about just, equitable, speedy, and inexpensive resolution of an appeal or a complaint that OIP is fielding. Instead, I want to pick up the language that OIP has provided us in their impact statement as to the legislative intent. It should be a process that is expeditious, informal, at no cost to the public. This is not the only committee report that hones in and emphasizes the important role that OIP is supposed to have in interfacing with the public and assisting the public as much as possible. Okay, at the bottom of page 73-3, when an agency denies a record, you know, you get a piece of paper saying you can't have it, and here's why. Fair enough. You've got something to go forward on. What is happening, however, you get no response from the agency. So I want the definition of denial of access to include failure to respond at all and to respond within the time limit set already under the Hawaii Administrative Rules in 2-71. Because to me, failure to respond at all is an underhanded, it's an invisible way to deny the citizen what the statute says they think they are entitled to. So there's a dispute on this. This is what OIP should be fielding, is get the agencies to at least respond, which they're not doing at this point. Okay, on the next selected page that I have, 73-7, what may be appealed to OIP? We've already broadened the definition of a denial of access is no response whatsoever, but also we want to include 92F-23, which covers personal records, where there are time limits set on records that you can get applying to yourself and having the opportunity to correct those. So that would be an important change that I think you would want to make on that page. On page 73-8, again, I just incorporated the previous Hawaii administrative rules in 2-71 to include the time frame that the agencies are already supposed to be operating under, but sometimes they are not. And that carries over to 73-9 on that page also. Okay, on 73-10, you're looking at the notice of appeals that the agency is now going to be working under. It sounds as though the parties are including in that definition the person who has brought the complaint or the original appeal. I don't think the citizen or the requester, nonprofit or business, should be strapped with any obligations whatsoever to prove that they have a right to the record, as the statute says. What I would like to have included here is the language actually from OIP's impact statement. The burden of proof for denial of record is the agency itself. And the poor citizen requester does not have any responsibility whatsoever. So I don't think the citizen should be required to fulfill anything at that point. It is up to the agency to justify their denial or their refusal to act. Now, in terms of these records, that are being negotiated, OIP and the agency are toughing it out, trying to decide who's right and who's wrong. I want all of these materials to be disclosed to the public. And in fact, any denial of a record, I think, should be posted on the OIP website, along with all of the other reasons that an agency would either not provide the record or OIP says they should be denying the record. All of this procedure should be disclosed to the public, because as the impact statement and the rules call for, third parties that have an interest in this may provide testimony, or OIP can call third parties, fine, but they're not going to know about this unless they know that the agency is denying this record and the grounds for that denial. More important, as the impact statement implies but doesn't follow through on, the public and the news media have a direct interest in the outcome whenever an agency is failing to disclose the record. Because, you know, if I as an individual cannot get a water quality record, that is something that the press should know. It is something the public should know. It does have a direct impact. Even if I am denied my personal record about myself, even though my name may not be disclosed, if I can't get my record, it means that you won't be able to get your own record also. So I think there should be much more disclosure of this whole process that is unfolding here for the bureaucracy. Of course, this would be very nice for the courts to know also, and to broaden the range of public reaction to some of this decision making, that right now, once the complaint is made, the citizen requester does have no idea what is happening. So I want that corrected as much as possible. Okay, on 7315, again, I don't think the appellant, the person bringing the complaint for being denied the record, has any obligation. You know, OIP is to be, I hope, substantiating the arguments that the agency is wrong and they should turn over the record. The other important change is on 7319. Throughout this timeline, it's kind of clear that the agencies and even the citizen requester bringing the complaint has to operate within certain time limits. But OIP is placing very few time limits on how they themselves should be acting. So in this case, I want to have in 7319, 5 business days included as to when OIP is supposed to be issuing their final decision. Now, you could change the number of days, but I think there should be a time limit in there when OIP should be acting. And all of that should be disclosed to the public. There's no reason to keep all of this kind of just a little private conversation between the agency and OIP. All of that should be disclosed to the public, and OIP has got a lot more information on their website. I think just set up a second category of complaints that are now being negotiated at every stage by OIP. The last section that I have a big problem with is on 73-22. This is regarding OIP's initiative or upon request to reconsider a final decision that OIP has made. And this whole reconsideration process, I want to be posted on the website and have that made public. If there is a request for a reconsideration, remember the public, the news media, and others have a great interest in all of this process because it is affecting what they can find out from their own government. I want to eliminate the entire section 273.19, number subsection C, in which the OIP director can, on her own, just disregard many of the precedents that have been set in earlier OIP opinions. Now, certainly, when you're making a reconsideration, there may be changes of the law or the case law or so on that would force it. But I think this language in here is much too broad. It says any decision that is chosen can be overturned. Many of those early decisions were very important because they spent a lot of time getting the agency input and other states' way they were handling issues, and those are very lengthy formal opinions that did set precedents. They should not just be willy-nilly tossed overboard with unlimited discretion by any action of OIP in the future. So I would like to see that overly broad language eliminated entirely. Obviously, in any legal decision, if there are changes in the legal environment, that has to be reconsidered. But you do it on a case-by-case basis and not just sort of anything that happens along the way. Now, at this point, there's going to be a process for the agency to go to court. Again, OIP is setting up this record to give to the courts. I want the index to be made public. It's being made public only to the court, and that may or may not even show up in the court record. So that index should be made public, certainly to the party doing the initial complaint, but also to the public in general. And by this time, there may be third parties involved. They should have at least a record of that index also. So, in effect, what these call for is a broadening of the definition of what can be appealed to OIP, which is when an agency says nothing. It is broadening the definition of who gets this disclosure. I want it much more available to the public at every stage of the process. In a few cases, I think there should be limits on how fast OIP should act. Now, over the years, OIP has been drained of many of their resources. Okay, if they need more resources to really implement the state policy, which the legislature and the governor signed, then they should be given the adequate resources to do that, as many of us have advocated for a long time. It must be made clear that only the agency has the burden of proof. The poor person bringing the complaint, who couldn't get the information, has no responsibility to do so. And then to eliminate that last section, which gives unlimited discretion to OIP. Because I think these are kind of detailed but important changes, I would hope to see OIP to put a new revision up on their website, allow comment on that by the public, have that testimony and the reaction of the public also made clear, much like the legislature does in the posting of testimony, so that we have much more discussion on these important rules, which are going to affect everyone in terms of what is available and not available and what is having to go through a lengthy court process perhaps and so on. So I would hope these changes could be made without too much of a difficulty, made public and posted on the website, and again have the public a chance to review those or to explain OIP to explain why these cannot be made. I think these are in keeping with the original legislative intent of the statutes. Thank you very much.
Ms. Kiever, I noticed in your testimony that it appears that maybe some pages are missing, because if you look at page 73-3, and then it jumps to, you circled 73-7. Was that how you intended to paginate this?
Well, I've only reproduced certain pages. I have not produced all of your rules.
I know, but I didn't know. I didn't follow the pagination that you have on here, because the first paper has no page number. The second paper has 73-2 circled. In the back of it, at the bottom, you circle page 73-3. Then the third piece of paper jumps to 73-7 and is circled. Is that what you intended?
Yes.
Okay.
In other words, I've only reproduced the pages that I have edited.
Okay.
I thought maybe
we were missing something.
I'm assuming everyone saw your original proposed rules.
Okay.
So I only edited certain pages that I wanted the language clarified.
Okay, I wanted to just make sure you gave us a complete copy of your testimony, what you want, so that we know what you're talking about as you submit it. Okay.
Thank you.
And our second testifier, and unless anybody else wants to testify, our last person is Mr. Douglas Meller from the League of Women Voters.
Hi, I'm Doug Meller. I'm presenting testimony for the League of Women Voters. Our comments do not address any of the same subjects that Bev Keeler's testimony addressed. We're testifying on one very limited feature of your rules. Without reading our testimony verbatim, basically your rules set up a process where it says that if an agency doesn't get back to you when you've requested a record and you want to appeal that agency's action or inaction, whatever you want to call it. I mean, sometimes agencies say, we'll get back to you, and then they don't respond. Sometimes they don't respond at all, but there are many ways it can happen, but you don't get an answer. Your rules say that the OIP must issue a formal written determination that you have been denied access before you can even appeal. And your rules don't set up any process or procedures or time limit for OIP to make such a determination. So to simplify the process, our suggestion is that you amend your rules to allow a simultaneous processing of a request for OIP assistance and the appeal. I mean, if you file an appeal, you can always dismiss it on the grounds that agency gave you the record. But if you file an appeal alleging that an agency has not given you the documents in a timely manner under your rules, at that point you can try to get the thing, and if the agency balks, bang, you can make your decision. You don't have to create a whole separate record for both the determination and for the appeal. So it cuts the step out of the process. It makes everything move faster, less work for OIP. It also gives OIP a little more clout, because if a request for OIP assistance is processed simultaneously with appeal, when OIP contacts the agency, you're basically warning them that if they don't give the information, they're going to risk going to the next box, which is, you're going to determine that they failed to give something you should have given. And the public has the right to go to court within 30 days and collect their attorney's fees. And that gives considerable clout to OIP's request that agencies pay attention. So it works for the public, it works for you, it makes less work and process. So that's our only suggestion.
And I know that you had your emailed some testimony earlier, you want that attached as part of the record?
The testimony we emailed in, and I've given a paper copy, gives the proposed wording. There may be a better way to word it. We're not attorneys. As long as the gist of what's being done, it happens, there may be a better way to word it.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone else that wishes to testify today? Well, persons who were unable to testify today and want to present additional comments may mail written testimony to OIP by next Friday, November 23rd, 2012. Please mail them to the Office of Information Practices, 250 South Hotel Street, Suite 107, Honolulu, Hawaii, 96813. And based on the testimonies presented, OIP will submit its findings and recommendations to the Attorney General and the Governor. Depending on the comments received, our goal will be to present these proposed rules in the hearing minutes to the Department of the Attorney General by November 30th, 2012, to conduct a final legal review. If approved, the proposed rules will be given to the governor for his final approval. Should the governor grant approval, certified copies will be filed with the Lieutenant Governor's office, and after 10 days, it becomes effective as law. Are there any questions regarding this process? Well, on behalf of OIP, I want to thank all of you for attending today's public hearing. This public hearing is now adjourned. It looks to be 10:35 a.m. Thank you again for taking the time from your day to attend this hearing.